listeners, welcome to July's audio lesson. I'm so happy you are here. This month, we're diving into some stinky content. And when I say stinky, it brings me back to a time when I was working very intensely with my own coach. Her name is Michelle McCall. She no longer does coaching, but about 10 years ago, she was running these fully immersive programs. We called them journeys, and we could go through them either in groups or one-on-one, and I did 3 of them. And man, were they full of the deepest, dirtiest dives behind motivations, thoughts, feelings, elements that were holding me back from going in the places and the directions that I desired to be taking my work, my business, my life. And every time we came upon a particularly difficult lesson, one that would require going really deep and coming to terms, being honest with myself about where some of these thoughts and beliefs were formed and why I had formed them, and just, you know, the uncomfortable elements of things. Every time I would come upon one of those, we would refer to them as the stinky lessons, because you could smell it coming up. You knew it was going to be unpleasant while you were in it, but you also knew that coming out on the other side of it would bring you into this place where you could take a deep breath of fresh air with new perspective. And so this month, I'm excited to dive into this stinky content with you, especially for those of you who are high achievers, perhaps tend to err on the perfectionism side of things. And even those of you who might be a little like me, which is that when we gain one piece of information, one moment of clarity, we can tend to have the expectation that everything is going to change right away. And through the many years of working on all of this stuff, whether it be for teaching or for life, the one thing I have been taught over and over again is that the timing of the process is not up to me. And sometimes, my friends, that's a sucky lesson to learn. But if you're aware of it, at least you can do a little more management surrounding your feelings and thoughts when you are in a rut, when you're in a place where you need to stay a little more patient. And this lesson becomes so important for those of us who are right now in the middle of desiring to see a shift. Sometimes it's going to be in our teaching, sometimes it's going to be in the way we manage our self-care or the way we perceive some of our client relationships to be going. But when you desire a shift, the second feeling that usually comes along is impatience with how many things have to be done in order to support that shift. I've spoken a lot in the past about seeing something that I thought was absolutely on my pathway. It aligned with everything that I wanted for my career. I dreamed about the thing, whether it was presenting or starting an online membership process. And I felt like since I could see it very clearly in my head, then it should be able to automatically happen. And time and again, whenever I've had an instance of not receiving an opportunity in my career, I've realized later that were I to receive that opportunity at the time where I was really keen on getting it, I wouldn't have had the tools to support myself through it. So one of these elements has come to me in terms of presenting. I've been fortunate enough to present for the Pilates Method Alliance Conference a number of years in a row. And the first time, I've told the story before, the first time, about a half hour before my presentation, one of the staff members had told me that I had gone from having 13 people signed up to having 90 people signed up. And I thought, okay, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the moment. I'm totally ready, except for I was freaking out. And so I was going around preparing myself, thinking about 90, reciting my mantra. At the time, I had my son with me. He was 5 months old. So I was breastfeeding him up in the hotel room and trying to get pumped up to talk to this room of 90 people and being really freaked out that the work that I was getting ready to share with them wouldn't land well, if at all, but getting ready to do it anyway. And when I got to the room, I realized that there were only 13 people in the room. And I said, oh, we need more chairs. I think there's 90 coming to the proctor who was watching the room. And she said, no, there's only 13. And so what happened, long story short, is that whoever told me that I had 90 in my room had mistaken me for someone else. And while it was a big downer to not have that 90, the 13 people in that room were the exact right people who needed to be in that room. I was able to test drive some of my lecturing skills. It was one of the first times that I had used meditation and writing within a forum for the Pilates world. And it was an opportunity that gave me perspective about the work going forward. And that work at the time was called the Pilates Classroom, and today it's evolved into Teach From the Heart, where there are far more than 90 members receiving it on the regular. And in addition, last year I received the opportunity to teach the large group mat class, Matapalooza, at the end of the conference with some of my colleagues. And I will tell you, it was the most fun and the least nerve-wracking of all things I've ever done. And the reason why is because I had opportunities that led me to the place where I was able to fully believe in my teaching, stand in my own truth, be who I was, speak to the delegation as they were getting ready to move, and have fun. And I know that if I went back in time, even 2, 3, 5 years, I would not have had the same experience that I had with that large audience based on the fact that I hadn't cultivated the tools that were there on that day to support me. I hadn't been through some of the rough spots where I was figuring out who I was as a teacher, figuring out what my message was. I hadn't yet discovered those things. And because of the patience, albeit, you know, resisted patience in many cases, but because of the patience and being present with my process, I was able to really have fun with my work and let the nerves go. And I think that's what it's about for most of us. There tends to be this expectation that we should be farther along than we already are at this moment in time. And the truth is that if we were farther along, we most likely would not have the tools we need to support ourselves in those endeavors that we desire for our future. So part of patience is recognizing that right now you are receiving so many scenarios, so many pieces of information and learning opportunities that will serve your future. It's not all for naught. It's actually truly valuable information. And so if you desire to be in a different state professionally or in a different place of your teaching where the words are flowing and, you know, things are just happening for you and maybe you're getting a little bit more recognition if more people are coming to your classes or more people are noticing you in the community, remember that it all has to start somewhere. And so there's this huge tapestry that we have available to us. It's not just the shift itself that we desire to see that's the important aspect of change. It's everything leading up to that shift. I run a weekly coaching group for teachers of movement called Gem Seekers, and recently we've been working on the art of being discerning with the information that comes our way, really determining what's important, what's not, what serves our process as teachers of movement, as human beings, and what just doesn't, and things that surround letting those things that don't serve us go, releasing them, and paying attention to the things that do. And in our most recent lecture, which I thought I'd share a little bit with you today, we spoke about two different states of our headspace and perhaps our emotions that could actually help us determine what information was serving us. And so the first one is a state of consolation, which means happiness, gratitude, appreciation, groundedness, some of the good feels, but also you can be in a state of appreciation about feedback that might not be totally celebratory. Somebody could tell you, you know, I really need you to show up on time. And you could be in a state of gratitude about that, hopefully. In any case, these states of consolation are ones that feed into your process. They help you understand that you're on the right path towards getting to where you want to be, or they encourage you to stay on that path or to make a shift towards getting more on that path. The other state is states of desolation, which is depression, anxiety, fear, shame, embarrassment, guilt, those elements. And so when we're in a state of desolation, it's usually a place where we've forgotten a bit of our purpose or who we are, and we're not feeling good about anything. And so when we start to think about being on this pathway and wanting things to happen really quickly and being frustrated when they don't, the act of taking inventory of the information that's coming your way and determining whether it's placing you into a state of consolation or a state of desolation can be a really meaningful act or process or exercise to engage into regularly. Because when you're engaged into the process, the end result doesn't hold so much weight. And I think one of the reasons why we get frustrated when we're not reaching the point that we wish to reach in the time we wish to reach it is that we are looking for a big happening to occur. And when we start to check in with the little pieces of information we're gathering along the way, the little indicators that tell us we're on the right path, the little moments that we can determine, are they bringing us into a state of consolation or a state of desolation? All of those moments, we can then make minute to minute, moment to moment, instance to instance choices that help us feel like we have some part in the process. So it takes the value away from the big thing, the big achievement, and it puts more value into the process, which is really where the shift comes from. So if you're looking to gain some traction and some forward movement in your career as a teacher of movement, and you're focusing only on a change of title or financial stability or whatever it ends up being, you're going to miss the journey along the way. And we all know that old adage that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And we all say that. But when we're not actively engaging into the journey by checking in regularly, that's when we get into a little bit of trouble. So I want to invite you to regularly check in. And your writing assignment is going to help you do this month. But I want to invite you to regularly check in. When you receive some level of an emotional response, whether it's good or bad, I just want you to see how that response to feedback, to your teaching, to your overall energy level, how does it feed into the overall intention that you have moving forward to where you want to be in your career as a teacher of movement? Continue to check in, like, hey, where am I at right now? Am I spending more time in desolation or am I really spending time in consolation? And if it's desolation, then what are some of the small shifts in thought, behavior, interaction, support? What are some of the small shifts that I might make to bring me to the place that I know will lead me to the shift that I desire? The other thing I want to talk about today is this element of time. And I also work with a coaching group currently, because I support my professional endeavors. And recently I was working with one of the mentors in the coaching group, and she started to discuss the element of time as kind of a sense of pulling taffy, that there certainly was a beginning and an end point, but in the midst, if you pull taffy from one end to the other, there's all these interesting things that happen over the stretch between the beginning and the end point. And there's possibilities of breaking the taffy, there's possibilities of connecting to it. And I just thought that was such a beautiful metaphor for being patient within the process, meaning that each movement forward is a stretch. And each time we come into a space where the process feels delicate or insecure, it's our job to kind of reconnect to the center, maybe ball up that taffy and start pulling it another way. And just it enlightened me to this idea that there's always a choice in perspective. There's always a way that we can look differently at what's happening, gain information, give ourselves some choices, and perhaps choose differently or course correct from the place we're at in this moment. And so if you're coming up against that agitation or that place that says, oh, I can't see where I'm going right now. I just feel like I'm in the weeds. Think about this returning to center. This month's bonus is this beautiful body sway meditation that's a metaphor for all of the actions that are going around, surrounding you in your life, all of the frenetic energy, and acknowledging that energy and then attempting to find a centered place in the middle of all of the chaos. And so you'll find that in your bonus portal. But what I want to draw the analogy to is this feeling of dis-ease amidst the movement through your process. And if you feel like you're off course, come back to your main intentions. Come back to the reasons why you're on this course in the first place. Come back to the expectations that you have as a result of moving towards this goal or this achievement or whatever it is. Come back to those intentions and line up your current behaviors with those expectations and see how you're doing. You always have the opportunity to course correct. I find for me that a meditation can help me drop into a clean, open space where I can start again. I can choose differently. And so think of that metaphor of the taffy always moving in all different directions. And though there is a beginning and an end point of every process, there's lots of different twists and turns and pulls and bends in between. The other thing I want to share with you, the third element this month, is kind of a funny one, I think. I work with some amazing people, and some of them fall into the spiritual end of things, and some of them fall into the very business-minded end of things. And recently, I was talking to one of my more spiritual support systems, and I was speaking about a situation that had irritated me or caused me some, you know, a little dis-ease in the mind, just like, I don't like this thing. And she said, Jenna, let them keep irritating you, because this is actually fueling your next steps towards this goal, this shift that you wish to see. And it was a beautiful turn of events, because now I am looking at some of these irritations with more of a humorous kind of, it makes me giggle now when I see myself becoming irritated by certain elements, because I know that these elements are just showing me where I don't want to be. And instead of getting stuck in the irritation of it, I'm moving through it with some joy, a little sarcasm, and ultimately, you know, remembering that, oh, this is here because it's showing me that I am moving in the direction that I want to move in. And while the timing is not up to me, certainly the perspective is all about me bringing it to the table. So if you're being irritated by any number of things, be it clients, be it the owners of your studio, your home people, your family, your spouses, your children, whatever it is, your pets, then just remember that the irritation isn't there to throw you off your game, but it's there to inspire you to get more on the game itself. So look at these situations, do your breathing, chuckle a little bit, and then move on down the road towards the thing that you're working towards. I know it's a little easier said than done, but the primary element of this is to be aware that irritable instances are there to show you what you don't want, or as my other coach, Gabby Bernstein, says, when you recognize something, you see something in someone else or in a situation that irritates you, it's typically reflective of a part of yourself that you have disowned. And I find that to be so powerful, because at certain points in our process, we can absolutely say, hey, I don't want this anymore. This isn't for me. I'm leaving this part behind. And we think we're good, but then we see it reflected in someone else or some other situation, or we're put up with a conflict in our own work that's so familiar and old to us, and it gets irritating. It gets irritating. And if we think about that irritation as just, hey, this is a part that I've already established I don't want. Okay, so cool. We're just shoring up that belief. And or, oh, I'm going to let this irritation fuel me forward to the next steps, because I know it's absolutely not what I'm after. So take a playful perspective with this. See what you can come up with in your own process. And I think it'll be helpful to look at the irritations as a not a positive, but a tool. And the last tool that I want to offer you in the act of being patient with your process this month is perhaps to lose the word patient and replace it with pacing. I said this in a conversation recently also, that I don't think it's about being patient, because sometimes the word patient can connotate a state of doing nothing, but instead it's doing just one thing a day. What is one thing you can do every single day that engages you with the space that you desire to be in the future? If it's teaching with a more confident voice, can you find one thing that you do so well and do that to reaffirm that you actually have confidence and you are really good at your job? Even if it's not universal with every single exercise that you teach or every single element that you teach, find one thing and let that be the thing you do well today. If it's writing, find one thing you can write down today that will reflect your overall process. What's one thing that you've learned that can help really affirm that you're on the right pathway? If it's movement, find an exercise that you do really well and see if you can seek out the relationship between that movement and something that you might be struggling with in your practice. And if it's your overall sense of worthiness, find one of the mantras that has served you thus far in the membership, or create one yourself. And just repeat that every single day. Even if it's, I am here on the earth, just being present. That's one that served me well in many times where I was questioning what my purpose was. I would just affirm to myself, hey, I'm here today. And that's going to be enough for today. So just reviewing the steps, the tools that we've offered through this month's audio lesson and the mantra, I am patient with my process, remembering that it's not just the focus on the shift or the change or the achievement itself, but on the process. It's a tapestry of small actions and decisions and choices and perspective taking that will bring you to the space that you desire to be. Remember to check in with your states of consolation and desolation, and you get to choose what doesn't serve you and not identify with it, not make it a main theme of your process, but choose something that brings you closer to where you want to be and focus on that thing. We talked about the taffy pulling analogy of time, remembering that there is a beginning and an end, but there are lots of possibilities in between. So never grasping onto how you think it should look in the middle, but instead being open to the possibilities. We talked about letting your irritations fuel your fire to move forward, to not let them be things that knock you off of your purpose pathway, but instead let them remind you why you're on it in the first place. And lastly, instead of maybe practicing patience, to practice pacing. And if it's only one thing you do every day, commit to that one thing that lets you know that you're exactly where you need to be in alignment with that purpose. My friends, I hope that some of this material serves you this month. Remember, as hard as it is to accept, the timing is just not up to us, but it's the energy engagement that we bring into our process that will ensure that we get to the spaces we desire to be. I'll look forward to your comments in the Facebook group, to hearing all about your discoveries. Keep doing the work. I know some of you are going back and forth between months. It's totally fine. You can use this material as it serves you. And just know that I'm rooting for you in the background. All right, I'll see you next month, and have a beautiful, beautiful July.